Welcome to Two Brothers and Their Sports. I'm your co-host, Arv.
And I'm your other co-host, Arsh.
And today on the show, we have three topics to get to. We're going to start off by doing our segment that we do every single year right before college basketball starts or right after it starts, which is we're going to be going through most of the top 25. Obviously, we're going to be going through the top 10 of the AP poll, see who should be ranked where and what's the deal is in the college basketball landscape. Next, we're going to be talking about Chris Bumstead winning his fifth Olympia title in a row, what that means for the bodybuilding industry and obviously the greatness for him. And then finally, we're going to end with our weekly segment, Two Bros, Two Picks. Each of us will give you two guys that you should add to your bench, at least, if not start at your flex or wide receiver two slash running back two spots this week that can help you win your league. But let's get started with the college basketball AP poll. Arsh, why don't you talk to us about that top 10 and your thoughts on that list as it is right now?
Yeah, so right now the top 10 is Kansas at number one, Duke's at number two, then it goes Purdue, Michigan State, Marquette is at number five, UConn, Houston, Creighton, Tennessee, and then FAU, which is great to see after the tournament they had last year. I think primarily what I'm going to say here is there's a lot of big teams that have been left out of that just based off seeding. I know they didn't perform well in March Madness, but I think Gonzaga should be top 10. I think Arizona should be top 10 right now, and San Diego State has kind of an argument to be there instead of some of the other teams, but I am happy to see like some of the big teams that definitely should be there. They're up there. Duke's number two, Purdue's number three, Marquette is getting finally some love at number five, and then UConn obviously coming off their championship, they're number six.
Yeah, so you talked about a lot of the heavy hitters there in the top 10, starting off with Kansas and Duke. Both had arguably the best recruiting class in this year's recruiting class in general, in terms of the ESPN's top 300 players that have been rated out of five stars. Kansas obviously came in great. Bill Self just secured one of the biggest contracts in, or if not the biggest contract in college basketball history for a coach. So that was really great to see for him. Kansas basketball obviously has been doing well for a very long time now. And they just got Hunter Dickinson from Michigan. So that'll make a huge impact for them at number one. Then Duke at number two, we know how great they have been. Jeremy Roach has been at the forefront of that team for the past 2 to 3 years now. Now he is a senior and is helping to manage those young guys there that are like such as Jared McCain, guys like that are just trying to perform to the Duke standard. And hopefully John Shire can have a bounce back year after last year being left out of the top 25 towards the end of the year. So that was unfortunate to see, but looks like Duke could make a bounce back this year. Purdue, we saw Zach Eddy had a crazy year last year. Michigan State, another incredible recruiting class. The reigning national championship champions, you talked about at six, UConn. Houston, arguably the best defensive team in college basketball at seven, Creighton and Tennessee, both underrated teams, but here you can see that they're rated pretty highly. FAU had a great tournament. And then after that, you get to a lot of teams that played well last year. Gonzaga, Arizona, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Kentucky, San Diego State, who made the championship last year. UNC is down at 19, didn't have that amazing of a recruiting class, but we know Hubert Davis is a very, very great coach. I wanted to actually focus on 21, and that is USC. Isaiah Collier is obviously there, a top five recruit in this year's class. So is probably the biggest name in college basketball at the moment, Bronny James. He's also at USC. And their program is looking to make a bounce back here. They're currently ranked number 21. I think they could be close to top 15 by the end of the year just because of those two guys, mainly because of Isaiah Collier. I think he's a really great player coast to coast. We see what he can do at the guard position. There's a reason he's projected to go maximum top three in the NBA draft this year. So I think USC could be a really, really fun team to watch. Don't be surprised if they make a jump to the top 15, maybe even top 10, if they continue to play well. Obviously, right now, at the moment, they are 1-0. So I'm just excited to see that. A lot of great college basketball supposedly or expected to come up this season. A lot of heavy hitters, a lot of new teams, and then some teams that you expect to make the jump, some teams that are a little bit behind where they were last year. But I think it's going to be a very, very good year overall. And obviously, the road to March Madness starts now. So we'll see how everything shakes up leading up to that. So make sure to stay tuned to the podcast.
And then talking about USC too, like you said, Bronny James is there, and he's going to be coming back, recovering still from his heart issue that he had prior to this. Going back to Duke also, I wanted to focus on them too. I mean, they also have Kyle Filipowski, who decided surprisingly to stay there for another year when he definitely didn't need to do that, had a very high draft stock. He's been great there already in the in their first game. Like you said, Jeremy Roach is there, Tyrese Proctor, their other great guard, was doing well too. Jeremy Cain stepped up, and then Caleb Foster also went off with 15 points. Look, this Duke team works very well with their bigs and their guards that they have in the upperclassmen, Jeremy Roach and Tyrese Proctor. Jeremy Cain's there to fill in too as kind of like the sixth man role if he needs to play that. I think this team is a Duke team that could go really far, but I also don't think that it's going to be the NCAA champion men's championship winning team just because of how unpredictable March Madness can be. But I do think that this could be a team that can finish out the regular season before March Madness as the AP number one team.
Yeah, so next up, we'll go to our first ever bodybuilding segment, actually. And we're going to talk about the pure dominance of Chris Bumstead, also known as C-Bum, the past 5 years on the Olympia stage. In the 2023, obviously came away as the Classic Physiques Nash as a Classic Physiques world champion. Five times he's won that award, fifth year in a row. And I think the biggest story here was just the pure dominance. And the I would first I want to talk about the fact that he tore his lat 10 weeks out. That was a really, really big blow to him. He was struggling to come back from that, push through that injury. So that was really, really great to see. Then obviously Ramon Dino obviously has been performing extremely well, working really hard in the gym, continually placing second in all of those tournaments. And I think this year he really made a big jump in terms of his upper body and his legs, but specifically his the upper part of his frame, shoulders, biceps, triceps, everything looked way more filled out. He looked like he was in a much more much much bigger frame, more competitive to challenge, potentially challenge Sebum in the at this stage. But Sebum, I think, has just been an absolutely like he's been a god. He deserves to be in the top tier of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ronnie Coleman. You're talking about all these great guys that have competed at a really high level. But I think that the gap is definitely closing between Ramon Dino and Sebum. And then obviously Urs is number three. I think that he could, I think he's obviously on the younger side. I think he could develop really well, but I think it's going to be a competition of Ramon Dino versus Sebum, and I think it will continually be that. I think for the next 1 to 2 years, it could continue to be Sebum, but after that, Ramon Dino, obviously the younger guy, could really, really take a big jump. So look for that. But obviously, congratulations to Sebum. 5 years straight, just of incredible hard work that is starting to pay off and has done him dividends at the competitions for years now.
Yeah, like you said, just congrats to him for winning the Olympia. And for our listeners out there who don't really know what that is, it's kind of the culmination of all the weightlifting events. The Men's Classic Physique is the most prestigious physique in the competition, and the Mr. Olympia is held once a year. So Sebum winning it 5 times already vaults him into one of the greatest bodybuilders ever and the guys that have won it the most times. I think just talking about Ramon Dino, like you said, if you're going more for aesthetics, that's kind of where the votes would go. And like you said, the gap is kind of closing between those two. It's because of that. Sebum has won 5 years in a row. He finally just won his fifth one, and he's closing in on the record. But if you look at it, I mean, the amount of mass that Sebum has in it is incredible compared to Ramon Dino. But I do think that Ramon Dino may be able to get one or two Olympia titles just because of his aesthetics in the future. If you look at the competition between these two, I mean, like you said, it's these two every year. So if going forward, I could definitely see a change between how the voting kind of comes out. But like you said, congrats to Sebum for winning this fifth.
Yeah, and in terms of motivation, I think you look at in the gym performance in the past year, and Ramon Dino obviously has had really a ton of motivation, continue placing second for the past few years. And then this year he came out, it looked like stronger than ever, didn't reveal his physique up until a week or so, maybe even less time than that, a few days before the competition, really let the work speak for itself here. And I think the motivation is just going to be even greater. You see every time he's not crowned the crowned with a medal, with the gold medal here, he always goes back. He's always disappointed, and he puts in a crazy amount of work. The amount of the amount, not only the amount he trains, but with the intensity he trains is unmatched. So I think that combined and his actual passion for the sport of bodybuilding. could really propel him in the next few years. But yes, we both talked about it. Congrats to Sebum on his fifth Mr. Olympia. And with that, we'll switch over to our two bros, two picks segment. Each of us is going to give you two guys on the fantasy football waivers, or at least that are available in over 50% of ESPN leagues that you should be looking to add, and that could help you in your depth and potentially in your starting lineup as you head to the fantasy football playoffs. So I'll get started this week. My first pick is going to be Jayden Reed. He's the wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Currently, he's rostered in 15 and 16% of leagues, averages 10 points a game. But if you look at the past few games, it's kind of skewed because of what he did earlier in the year where he was on and off. Past three games, week seven against Denver, four catches for 21 yards, had a touchdown. That's good for 11 points. Week eight against Minnesota, four for 83 on six targets, 12.3 points without a touchdown. Then last week, he had three catches, 19 yards on three targets, also had a rush for 21 yards. So you can see the Packers are clearly trying to get him the ball. He's a really explosive player for this team. The addition of Aaron Jones coming back to the offense should really help that team. And that opens up the passing lane even more for Jordan Love. We see that Aaron Jones being there has been two of their three wins this year. And Aaron Jones has only played four or five games this year, maximum, with his hamstring injury that continues to hurt him, plus the bye that the Packers already had. So their offense should be way better this week, especially going against a Steelers team that struggles to guard wide receivers. Currently, they're ranked third or fourth to last in terms of wide receiver points per game allowed. So Jayden Reed, an explosive guy here, and the guy that's really taken over for Christian Watson and is starting to take some of Romeo Dobbs' targets, could have a really big game, especially considering the fact that earlier on in the season, on and off, 20 points, 11 points were his big two games in the first 5 weeks. But then after that, he's been pretty consistent, averaging close to 8 points, maybe a little bit more. So I think he could be a really valuable flex play for you guys. At least pick him up if he's on your waivers.
Yeah, and just quickly adding to that, he's been my year pick, and he just had two touchdowns a couple of games ago. He's one of the best Packers red zone targets. If you're looking for a guy and you desperately need a wide receiver or a flex in fantasy, he's definitely your guy. Another wide receiver is Khalil Shakir. That's my first pick. He's a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. He's in his sophomore year right now, but he's not having a sophomore slump. 2 games ago, he had a great game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He ended up with 15.2 points when he was projected 2.6. So his roster percentage skyrocketed. Last game, he had 9.7 points when he was projected 6.73 points, and he had 57 yards in their game against the Bengals. His target share has also been going up over the past couple of games. He just had four targets, then six targets, then four targets. Right now, against the Denver Broncos, who have one of the worst cornerback groups other than Patrick Surtain, who's going to be guarding Stephon Diggs, I think Khalil Shakir, not only as a deep threat, but also just as a route runner, can be very efficient in the passing game, especially with Josh Allen, that quarterback. He's only rostered on Sleeper in 23% of leagues. So if I were you, I would pick this guy up now. Use him as a bench stash, but also as a wide receiver that you need. I suspect that he will get a lot of red zone targets because Stephon Diggs might not be open as much as he usually would. And right now, Khalil Shakir is playing better than Gabriel Davis. He's the wide receiver number two, so I would definitely pick up Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, my second pick is a guy that's been very, very boom or bust for the Saints this year. It's actually Rashid Shaheed, rostered in 28% of ESPN leagues, averages 11 points. He's actually 31st in at the wide receiver position in terms of PPR fantasy points this season. He is also a guy I talked about a little bit earlier that is boom or bust. Going back to week six, had 18 points, then he had seven, then he had 24, then five. That was last week, he had five. So now heading into week 10, playing Minnesota, a very not a great secondary, cornerbacks and safeties back there. They're a very young team. I talked about it at the beginning of the year. They cleaned house at the position, but didn't really sign anyone new. They've been better than expected, but they're still bottom 10 in terms of wide receiver, in terms of wide receiver points allowed per game. Now we saw Derek Carr. He's really over that shoulder injury here, and he's starting to throw to Chris Olave a lot more. And that could really open up the passing game. Not only that, they have a big body tight end, Taysom Hill, that can run and throw the ball. And now Rashid Shaheed, a guy that's a really big deep threat. I think he could easily beat the Minnesota secondary over the top with his speed, with his acceleration and route running, just against these young players playing in the secondary. I think Rashid Shaheed has a real real advantage this week to go off. And when he goes off, he's a top 10 wide receiver that week. So look to add Rashid Shaheed in fantasy. Even if you don't want to put him at a wide receiver one or two spot, definitely flex him. Or if you're in a four wide receiver league, put him at wide receiver four. I think he could be really valuable at that position.
Yeah, so my second pick is also going to be another wide receiver. It's Cedric Tillman, the wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. I was looking at him right outside the 2023 NFL draft. He was drafted in the third round. He's from Tennessee, and he has amazing potential. Right now, Donovan Peoples-Jones just got traded. Amari Cooper is there, but also David Bell is injured. He has a knee injury, and he's going to be out this week against the Baltimore Ravens. So Cedric Tillman goes from a rookie that's caught barely any passes his entire career to being the wide receiver two against a very bad pass defense. He's only rostered in 3% of leagues on Sleeper, and in my opinion, this is a very big pickup. I think in most leagues, even very, very deep leagues with a ton of bench depth, this could be a really good pickup just because of his upside right now. Especially for an offense that isn't horrible, Deshaun Watson can throw the ball, and they don't have a bunch of great running backs back there in the backfield to help him out. This is an offense that's going to be passing a lot. It's going to be passing to David Njoku, going to be passing to Amari Cooper, and also Cedric Tillman. I think that this is a very great pickup, and especially as a rookie, he could develop and be Deshaun Watson's favorite target. So I think Cedric Tillman has an incredible upside. Just in the red zone, he's a tall receiver to catch touchdowns and just to have the targets and receptions. I would pick up Cedric Tillman.
Yeah, so just to recap, my first pick was Jaden Reed, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. And my second pick was Rashid Shaheed, wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints.
And my first pick was Khalil Shakir, the wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. And second pick was Cedric Tillman, the wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns.